And a happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos after doing a fine job as the next man up today with Jake Lyman. Gentlemen, how are we?
Well, hey, man, there's my microphone on, right? It's like crazy how that works. Doing better than yesterday. It took me, you know, I live maybe 7 minutes from here.
Yeah.
It took me an hour and a half to get home yesterday.
I believe it.
Because of all the airport backup yesterday, for those who were stuck at the airport, God bless you. It was backed up on the 40. It was backed up, Chase, all the way from the airport entrance to Murfreesboro Road and Donaldson Pike. That's how bad it was. And you know, there's nowhere to go. So hopefully the airport has it figured out. But right now, it is a mess, and it's on TV. BNA officials to review what caused huge backup yesterday. Traffic, till 11 o'clock last night. I mean,
it's it was
worst I've ever seen.
It was almost midnight. Our good friend Madeline Nolan at Fox 17 was there yesterday afternoon, did a great story on it, to the point that BNA turned their comments off.
They should. It's been an abject disaster for the construction over there. Don't open it all until it's all done.
Yeah.
And it's just the construction's over there. It's been mishandled and mismanaged so badly at the airport. I'm so sorry for those stuck in the traffic yesterday. But today's a new day.
It's on the Fox 17 YouTube page. Traffic woes at the Nashville airport. Shout out to Maddie for doing that.
Terrible. Just terrible. I mean, the whole thing was bad. And so I went through there today, and it was fine, man. But gosh almighty. All right, I'm fired up for today, man. Got a lot to talk about today.
I'm going to start with something different that's not on the board.
Yeah.
And had the opportunity this morning to go do a tour over at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. And you know this from doing this for so long. Dr. Crane, you know, Max is showing up for some reason. Hi, Max. Let's go, Fred. They'll all kind of learn this. I mean, Max has been over to Vandy Children's, but you walk into a place and you just kind of feel, you feel an energy, right? And it's hard to describe. But I got to tour the Seacrest Studios, and they were talking about how just that, you know, it's kind of a safe space that they have, that it's for patients, for families, for staff, or whatever. And that you're in a place where there's, I want to say there is positivity, but, you know, you're obviously, if you're at the hospital, it's probably not for a good reason. And there's all these kids that are going through things, and they were just telling us about what they do and the people that come in and all that stuff. And I was just like, yeah, if I'm having a bad day, it doesn't compare. You know, it was just kind of that, like, smack in the face of,
I agree.
You know, hey, sometimes we need that kind of dose of reality. But kudos to everybody over there in any hospital, but, you know, over there that do what they do on a daily basis.
I mean, those kids are fighting for their lives every single day. And I'm bitching about traffic.
Yeah. right? Well, I mean, yeah, look, it puts it in perspective.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it just puts it in.
And sometimes that's good, man.
So it was really cool. One of our friends just said that it was so bad at the airport that flight crews couldn't get in, and flights were delayed.
I counted 9 abandoned cars.
Yeah.
People are with their luggage walking over. But no, you make a good point. We need to be shocked back to reality every day that it's not as bad as we think it is in our lives. And sometimes, you know, visiting them and seeing them so full of energy and everything else, it really can change your life. And, you know, I know Woody and Jim spent a lot of time over there and talking and singing and recording and having fun. And, man, it's a great thing.
Yeah. So just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, that we did that, and it was just cool.
Yeah.
It was cool to see – you know, just a facility like that tries to bring smiles to faces that really need them.
I agree, man.
So we do have a lot to get into. The Titans reaction continues, which obviously we'll talk about. We had two Monday night games last night. I love Baker Mayfield. I freaking love Baker Mayfield.
It is the best story in sports right now. I'm telling you, Baker Mayfield's redemption is great. It is a wonderful story. After being jettisoned from the Browns, the Panthers, the Rams, and now finding home at Tampa Bay, and that team loves him. Those players love Baker Mayfield. And you saw it last night. They shouldn't have won that game.
Yeah.
And they did because of Baker Mayfield. It's a great story. So when you think people have given up on you, that's fine. As long as you don't give up on yourself, and Baker Mayfield is that story.
Yeah, I 100%. 100%. So it was – I just
– You're right, man.
You know. 12 o'clock. Like, I'm on the air at 12 o'clock, and it's like, oh, hey, let's bother Chase with questions.
Is that Eastern or Pacific time?
It's any time. So.
All right, well, let's have some fun, buddy. Let's have some fun today. All right, our question of the day, Dr. Crane, you ready for this? Because we're fully on the Diego Pavia Heisman train on this station, on this show. We're on this train. So they came out about – we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but evidently Theo Vaughn and Diego Pavia, they're setting up on a date. And he asked, where should he take Diego's mom out for lunch or dinner? And we want to get all the reaction today because it's a funny story that's really taken off. It was one of the trending topics last night on Twitter. It's been there all weekend long. We want to ask you, where should Theo Vaughn take Diego Pavia's mom out to eat? And you guys always give us great answers, 615-737-1025, because the Chase and Big Joe Show, along with Dr. Crane, we are the engineers right now on the Diego Pavia Heisman train. You're all welcome to jump on with us. And when he wins it, you're going to say, you know what? Those guys over 1025, Chase and Big Joe and Dr. Crane, they knew what they were talking about. We're on that train. Where?
And then there's going to be one person that tries to take credit for it. I guarantee it.
No, we got it first. We got it out there. 3-0, they're going to beat Georgia State, Utah State, and roll into Tuscaloosa at 5-0. And Diego's going to be talking the smack. But anyway, where should Theo take his mom?
Can I just say this, too?
Yeah.
And this is a right now might be a nuclear take. If they played like they have played in the last six quarters, they can go into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama. They're going to have to be
– sound the bomb alert.
They are going to have to be, like, on it. Because Bama got pissed off and woke up, you know, and they've played well the last two. But if Vandy plays to the level that they played the last six quarters, I think they can go in and
I'm with you, man. I am with you. You go down there. They go down and win that game. Then they're 6-0, and they've beaten Alabama.
If they go down there and win that game, then, like, they probably have a really good chance to go to Atlanta.
Yeah. And they've never been –
They're one of two,
three.
Well,
I don't count Oklahoma and Texas right now. I'm counting just the 14.
Well, Texas went last year.
The 14 that are there before. I mean, yeah, 14 of there before.
So, Vandy's never been. Mississippi State has.
Ole Miss
has never been.
One more.
And. Oh, well, you're not counting Oklahoma, but Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm just. Because they just only in the league. This is only their second year.
South Carolina?
They've been once. Spurrier took him in 2010, and Cam Newton beat him.
That's right.
You got this, buddy.
Kentucky.
That's it.
Okay.
But I'm with you, man. So we want to hear from you. Where should he take his mom out to eat? Chase, I ask you, where would he take Diego's mom to eat? For dinner. Maybe dinner and drinks. This story is just exploding, and I find it hilarious.
How about Sperry's and Cool Springs?
You got a friend?
he's got a friend with some gift cards.
You got a guy? Dr. Crane, where are you taking? If Theo called in and said, Dr. Crane, where should I go? What do you tell him?
Hibachi.
What? Where?
I don't know.
I need a place. I need a brick and mortar.
Bluefin. It's a sushi restaurant.
Where's that?
It's near Church Street in Brentwood area.
Are you a sushi guy?
I like sushi.
I didn't fancy you as a sushi guy.
I dabble.
Okay. My thing is, let's don't overthink this, right? Waffle House on Donaldson Pike. Make it simple.
I change it. Sportsman's Grill in Cool Springs.
Okay. All right, Sportsman's Grill. You going to change again here in a second?
No.
So we got Sperry, Sportsman Grill. I'm saying Waffle House on Donaldson Pike. Just keep it real. Don't overthink this, Theo. Keep it real. And Theo, if you're out there listening, we know you are. you're more than welcome to call in and get it done.
615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com. Where should Diego Pavia, or where should Theo Von take Diego Pavia's mom?
I'm sure we'll get a few answers that we can't read on the air.
Probably,
but we can have fun with it. And you guys, always the responses are always fantastic. So we love that.
We will do that and much more coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. Brian Callahan yesterday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. And you can weigh in on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. Fred, I was going to come to you. You hung up. But the Dan Campbell thing. So Dan Campbell, if you remember, let's go back a little further. Remember, he was the interim coach with Miami, went 5-7, didn't get the job. That was in 2015. It took him 6 years to get another crack at being a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Detroit, finishes 3-13 in the three thirteen and one in his first year, which is similar to Brian Callahan at 3-14 in his first year. Here's the biggest difference, and right now, what I've seen out of this team tells me there's no chance in hell they get even close to this. They went 9-8 the next year.
In the second year?
Yeah. I went from 3-13-1 to 9-8, then 12-5, then 15-2.
Who motivates you more, man? Think about it.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Because even in that year where they were 3-13-1, I for whatever reason, they showed a lot of Lions games here. And I would watch some of those games and go, they want to play for that guy. They may not be very good, but they want to play for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the biting kneecaps and, you know, the, he got emotional, like, all that stuff. That was – I mean, that – but that was – those guys were bought in. And I think there was some of that former player mentality. You know, Vrabel always wanted to dismiss that, that he didn't think it mattered because he didn't want it to be about him. But I think it did because, like, so many guys were like, yeah, he's been in those wars. He's been in those locker rooms. He knows what we're going through.
He does.
So it's like there's more of that. And I'm not dismissing someone that didn't play at the NFL level, but it is different. And I'm not saying that the guys don't like him, but I don't see them playing for him to the same point that the Lions were playing for Dan Campbell.
You talked yourself into it. Yeah, exactly. Dan Campbell is a different breed. He's a monster. Yeah, he's made dumb decisions as far as going forward and forth. But
sure.
I mean, that's fine. But it's just night and day between the two of those. And look, I watched last night the Chargers. I think the Chargers might be the best team in football right now. I mean, that's a good team last night.
They are a pretty good team.
And you watch them, you're like, man, the Titans are nowhere near that team. They're nowhere near that team. And Dan Campbell got those guys believing in him. And here it's I told you, it's my when I had bad gas. It's like flush the tank, get new gas in there.
Every time you say that, I'm thinking I'm going elsewhere.
They got to flush the tank, man. Look, this draft class the Titans had, not bad. You get a few of the parts in there, and I go for it. And I wrote that on the board. It's number two under the Titans on our chart here on the thing. If they lose on Sunday, start the trade wagon. Simmons, take care, baby. You're gone. Snead, find trade partners. Because you're 0-3. You're not going to the playoffs. Now you got to start looking down the line. Tell me Jeffrey Simmons is going to turn this team around?
No.
Get his value for it right now, Jeffrey Simmons' value.
Did you see that story? He like sued for because he didn't get paid for the 17th game or something
Brilliant.
Like that.
And
he,
Brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely. I have no problem. Somebody wants to be a capitalist, I have no problem for you making money. I got no problem. His value right now has never been as high.
Yeah.
He's playing his ass off. Trade him if they lose on Sunday and get something back for it.
I don't disagree with you. They won't, but I don't disagree with you. Ridley and Snead, like you're not getting anything for him. Like you signed Ridley to that deal. It's not looking like a good deal right now. Now, what'll probably end up happening is as the year goes on, he'll do like he did last year, and he'll kind of catch fire in the second half, and he'll get to his 1,000 yards, and it's like, oh, it doesn't look as bad. But
yeah, I mean, we're 4-13. Great job.
Right.
So I just think there's some things to do now, but it's all valued on this game on Sunday versus the Colts. If you lose, you're 0-3. They're 3-0, and now you go on the road for three games? I mean, you've scored one touchdown in eight quarters, and then you're getting conservative to kick a field goal to get some points at the half. It's not working, and we're going to sit here every day and pound the same message. It's not working. It's not working, and we know it's not working, and they know it's not working.
Yeah. But look, I mean, what else do you want us to do? I mean, what this is what the topic is right now.
No, I know, I get it.
You know,
that's
and
what's
I mean,
happening,
and that's what sucks, and that's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of talking about. Like, I hope, you know, we're going to be at Predators training camp on Friday. It's hard to believe that is here. The first preseason game is on Sunday with the doubleheader. I hope we're coming out of Preds training camp talking about, all right, I think this team's ready for a bounce back. Because I'm so sick and tired. Like, Vandy is fun right now because we're talking about a team that, like, you know, plays for the guy next to him, and they have fight, and they have a head coach that they want to play for.
Hell yeah, it's a great story.
I mean, that there's a prime example right there. You know, Clark Lee was a pretty damn good defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. Gets this job. He knows what he's getting into. They, you know, kind of have that decent first year, and then they take a huge step back. And the, you know, we're sitting here going like, well, okay, nice guy, but is he the right guy? It's a tough job. And what happens? Like, he makes moves that, you know, basically say, I realize I needed help as a head coach. Brings in Jerry Kill. Now, part of that becomes a package deal, and you get Tim Beck and Diego Pavia, which obviously was a really good thing. But he focused on the defense, which was his bread and butter, got that fixed, and he had a head coach that was kind of like his head coach, you know, for him. And now look at him. And so it's, you know, is Brian Callahan doing those things? I don't know. I mean, he's got a couple of head coaches on staff.
Let me ask you this. Is he the right coach for the Titans? Be honest.
No.
That's it. He's not. He's not the right. We all know it. He's not the right coach. It's
but do
okay.
they know it? Does she know it?
It's okay. You're not the right coach. It's okay to make a move. It's okay. Guys get fired all the time. Hell, the college fired two guys this past weekend. It happens. It's okay. You're getting compensated well. You'll get a job someplace else. But we do all this other stuff to figure this out and that out, and it comes out of the head coach. He's not built for it. Dan Campbell's built for it.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher told us about the story about Buddy Ryan the night before the Super Bowl and how all those guys, he was so beloved.
Right.
I mean, they would do anything for Buddy Ryan, and it turned to a championship team. Do you think these guys would run through the wall for Callahan? They ain't run through the wall.
Not to that level.
No.
Again, I think they like him.
Great, I like you.
Yeah, but are you going to run through a wall for me?
You're a good dude. I like you. Yeah, right? You could like him. That's fine. But this is football. I mean, you got to get to the next level. I mean, why is he not chomping Ridley's ass when he drops a pass? Why are you not seeing any of that?
I just don't think he's
built
that
way. I saw
it
from Cam Ward when Iowa Manor ran the wrong route.
Cam Ward's like, you ran the wrong route. I don't think he's built that way. Dylan says, if you guys were Amy Adams' trunk, I think he meant Strunk, and Mike Borgonzi, who would you be going after right now to be the head coach of this football team?
Good question.
Let's both give a different answer, and you can say you can have the one that I think you want to say.
Well, Gruden's out of this. We're not bringing
take Gruden out. All right, we'll both give a different answer when we come back. How about that? Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Brian Callahan yesterday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. And you can weigh in on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. Fred, I was going to come to you. You hung up. But the Dan Campbell thing. So Dan Campbell, if you remember, let's go back a little further. Remember, he was the interim coach with Miami, went 5-7, didn't get the job. That was in 2015. It took him 6 years to get another crack at being a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Detroit, finishes 3-13 in the first 3-13-1 in his first year, which is similar to Brian Callahan at 3-14 in his first year. Here's the biggest difference, and right now what I've seen out of this team tells me there's no chance in hell they get even close to this. They went 9-8 the next year.
In the second year?
Yeah. I went from 3-13-1 to 9-8, then 12-5, then 15-2.
Who motivates you more, man? Think about it.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Because even in that year where they were 3-13-1, I for whatever reason, they showed a lot of Lions games here. And I would watch some of those games and go, they want to play for that guy. They may not be very good, but they want to play for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the biting kneecaps and, you know, the, he got emotional, like, all that stuff. That was – I mean, that – but that was – those guys were bought in. And I think there was some of that former player mentality. You know, Vrabel always wanted to dismiss that, that he didn't think it mattered because he didn't want it to be about him. But I think it did because, like, so many guys were like, yeah, he's been in those wars. He's been in those locker rooms. He knows what we're going through.
He does.
So it's like there's more of that. And I'm not dismissing someone that didn't play at the NFL level, but it is different. And I don't see – I'm not saying that the guys don't like him, but I don't see them playing for him to the same point that the Lions were playing for Dan Campbell.
You talked yourself into it. Yeah, exactly. Dan Campbell is a different breed. He's a monster. Yeah, he's made dumb decisions as far as going forward and forth. But
sure.
I mean, that's fine. But it's just night and day between the two of those. And look, I watched last night the Chargers. I think the Chargers might be the best team in football right now. I mean, that's a good team last night.
They are a pretty good team.
And you watch them, you're like, man, the Titans are nowhere near that team. They're nowhere near that team. And Dan Campbell got those guys believing in him. And here it's just – it's. I told you, it's my when I had bad gas, it's like flush the tank, get new gas in there.
Every time you say that, I'm thinking I'm going elsewhere.
They got to flush the tank, man. Look, this draft class the Titans had, not bad. You get a few of the parts in there, and I go for it. And I wrote that on the board. It's number two under the Titans on our chart here on the thing. If they lose on Sunday – start the trade wagon. Simmons, take care, baby. You're gone. Snead, find trade partners. Because you're 0-3. You're not going to the playoffs. Now you got to start looking down the line. You can tell me Jeffrey Simmons is going to turn this team around?
No.
Get his value for right now, Jeffrey Simmons' value.
Did you see that story? He like sued for because he didn't get paid for the 17th game or something
brilliant.
Like that.
And
he,
brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely. I have no problem for you making money. I got no problem. His value right now has never been as high.
Yeah.
He's playing his ass off. Trade him if they lose on Sunday and get something back for it.
I don't disagree with you. They won't, but I don't disagree with you. Ridley and Snead, like you're not getting anything for him. Like you signed Ridley to that deal. It's not looking like a good deal right now. Now, what'll probably end up happening is as the year goes on, he'll do like he did last year, and he'll kind of catch fire in the second half, and he'll get to his 1,000 yards, and it's like, oh, it doesn't look as bad. But
yeah,
I mean,
we're 4-13. Great job.
Right.
So I just think there's some things to do now, but it's all valued on this game on Sunday versus the Colts. If you lose, you're 0-3. They're 3-0, and now you go on the road for three games? I mean, you've scored one touchdown in 8 quarters. And then you're getting conservative to kick a field goal to get some points at the half. It's not working. And we're going to sit here every day and pound the same message. It's not working. It's not working. And we know it's not working. And they know it's not working.
Yeah. But look, I mean, what else do you want us to do? I mean, what this is what the topic is right now.
No, I know. I get it.
You know,
that's what's happening.
And that's what sucks. And that's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of talking about, like, I hope. You know, we're going to be at Predators training camp on Friday. It's hard to believe that that is here. The first preseason game is on Sunday with the doubleheader. I hope we're coming out of Preds training camp talking about, all right, I think this team's ready for a bounce back. Because I'm so sick and tired. Like, Vandy is fun right now because we're talking about a team that, like, you know, plays for the guy next to him and – they have fight, and they have a head coach that they want to play for.
Hell, yeah, it's a great story.
I mean, that there's a prime example right there. You know, Clark Lee was a pretty damn good defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. Notre Dame. Gets this job. He knows what he's getting into. They, you know, kind of have that decent first year, and then they take a huge step back. And the, you know, we're sitting here going like, well, okay, nice guy, but is he the right guy? It's a tough job. And what happens? Like, he makes moves that, you know, basically say, I realize I needed help as a head coach. Brings in Jerry Kill. Now, part of that becomes a package deal, and you get Tim Beck and Diego Pavia, which obviously was a really good thing. But he focused on the defense, which was his bread and butter, got that fixed, and he had a head coach that was kind of like his head coach, you know, for him. And now look at him. And so it's, you know, is Brian Callahan doing those things? I don't know. I mean, he's got a couple of head coaches on staff.
Let me ask you this. Is he the right coach for the Titans? Be honest.
No.
That's it. He's not. He's not the right. We all know it. He's not the right coach.
But do they know it? Does she know it?
It's okay. You're not the right coach. It's okay to make a move. It's okay. Guys get fired all the time. Hell, the college fired two guys this past weekend. It happens. It's okay. You're getting compensated well. You'll get a job someplace else. But we do all this other stuff to figure this out and that out, and it comes out of the head coach. He's not built for it. Dan Campbell's built for it.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher told us about the story about Buddy Ryan the night before the Super Bowl and how all those guys, he was so beloved.
Right.
I mean, they would do anything for Buddy Ryan, and it turned to a championship team. Do you think these guys would run through the wall for Callahan? They ain't running through the wall.
Not to that level.
No.
Again, I think they like him.
Great. I like you.
Yeah. But are you going to run through a wall for me?
You're a good dude. I like you. Yeah, right? You could like him. That's fine. But this is football. I mean, you got to get to the next level. I mean, why is he not chomping Ridley's ass when he drops a pass? Why are you not seeing any of that?
I just don't think he's
I saw it from Cam Ward when Iowa Manor ran the wrong route.
I don't
Cam
think
Ward's he, like,
I,
you ran I, the wrong route.
I don't think he's built that way. Dylan says, if you guys were Amy Adams' trunk, I think he meant Strunk, and Mike Borgonzi, who would you be going after right now to be the head coach of this football team?
Good question.
Let's both give a different answer, and you can say you can have the one that I think you want to say.
Well, let's both Gruden's out of this. We're not
okay,
bringing
take Gruden out. All right, we'll both give a different answer when we come back. How about that? Chasing Big Joe.
Got it.
102.5 The Game. Hey, it's no mystery that later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds will take on Louisville, or is it Louisville? First pitch, 5:35. Jeff Hemm will have pregame at 5:20. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app at thegamenashville.com. Sounds of Baseball presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Last week of the Sounds, then it is the offseason for AAA Baseball. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Tuesday, so Dylan asked us if we were Amy Adams Strunk, who would we and Mike Borgonzi, didn't mention Chad Brinker, by the way, who would we hire as the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans? Now, keep in mind, this is an off-season move. If you fire him now, you're going to go interim,
yeah,
and then you'll do it all over again, you know, in the off-season.
Correct.
I've thought about this a lot. Because, you know, Vrabel was a defensive-minded coach. He brought in the guru to be the OC.
Don't you take my guy. Keep going.
Yeah, he brought in the guru to be the OC and in the, you know, and had to go through a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is you bring in the guru to be the OC, he gets a head coaching job. But I'd probably rather do that than go get the OC, you know, the OC to be the head coach.
Uh-huh.
So I'd rather go get a defensive guy.
Oh, if we agree on this one, oh, this is beautiful.
I don't know if we I don't see there's one that I want to say, but I'm worried because he's been a head coach before and the players hated him. But he's a really good defensive coordinator.
That's
Brian Flores.
Okay.
But I'm not saying Brian Flores. And the one that I'm leaning towards has been a head coach before.
I've got it written down. Keep talking.
and he wasn't a great head coach, but he's had time with a really good head coach, Steve Spagnuolo.
Okay.
Were we saying something different?
I'm different, yep.
Okay. But here's what I would say. Mike McDaniel's going to get fired in Miami. Hire Mike McDaniel to be the OC.
Not a chance in hell.
I think he'd be fine. He was a good – I mean, he can develop –
He's calling plays in Miami, and they're terrible.
Because Tua's gotten hit in the head 16 times.
Well then the awareness of your quarterback not being on
there is not a good NFL quarterback.
So you want Spagnuolo. All right, he was really bad with the Rams.
He was bad.
But I get that.
But I think he's going to get another bite at the apple.
Let me ask you that. And this is for our caller listeners, too.
I'm curious who you're going
to What does this Titans team need? They need to be tough, right?
Yeah.
You want your team to be tough and mean and aggressive and take no junk from anybody. There's a coach out there who's now a head coach who's now a coordinator. He got a really raw deal in one market because he had to kowtow to a diva, and it wasn't good. And I think his hands were tied. But players love him. They've played their butts off for him. You hire Robert Saleh to come in here as your head coach.
I don't hate that.
He's good. I'm telling you, that whole disaster with Aaron Rodgers when he didn't show up at camp, and I believe all that was from above, and Robert Saleh's hands were tied. He could not say, Rodgers need to be here. Like, hey, take it easy. This is the golden goose up here. Don't do anything with him. I think if Robert Saleh came in here, he would immediately influx his team with tenacity, being aggressive. The guys loved him. It just didn't work out because of the Aaron Rodgers nonsense. But bring him in here again. Now he's had the time is to sit back and say, all right, here's what went wrong in New York. Here's what's not going to wrong in Nashville. Plus, you need a coach like that who is really good with the players when you head in that stadium in 27. Don't think for a second that's not on Amy Adams' mind when they move in that stadium. I think Robert Saleh would be great.
Here's the one problem. This was his coaching staff the year he was fired with the Jets. Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, which is an OC, but with again, he had Rodgers, so yeah. I don't know. Passing game coordinator Todd Downing. Running backs coach Tony Dews. Wide receivers Sean Jefferson. Offensive line Keith Carter.
Okay.
Names sound familiar
to
you?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I had no problem with Keith Carter as a line coach.
He's okay.
Lawan was an ass to him. But yeah. Keith Carter was an okay line coach.
I don't hate Robert Saleh, but you got to go get – and again, he is from the Shanahan – like he's coached with Shanahan. Go get one of those gurus.
Yep.
Whether it's McDaniel or Kingsbury or somebody that comes in and runs the offense. And Kingsbury's probably going to get another coach. And see, that's another thing I'm afraid of, that they would hire him, which – again, I think he's a really good coordinator, but he's not a head coach. The guy that, like, if all of a sudden Dan Quinn got pissed at Washington and wanted to leave, I'd go get him. I would go to the airport. I would drive to D.C. I'd help him move.
What if Robert Saleh goes out and gets Art Smith? Come back home, make you assistant head coach.
Sign me up.
The offense is yours. I'm not going to touch it. I'm the head coach.
I'm down. Sign me up.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
I'd keep Denard Walker as the DC.
Wilson.
God dang it. I keep doing
it. You're getting as bad as I am on that. No.
I don't know why I keep doing that. Denard Wilson.
Yeah.
I'd keep him.
Yeah. Why not? You need a powerful head coach to come in here and direct all things and not be worried about X's and O's. That's right. The bottom line.
Ricky, I'm going to read Ricky's after Dr. Crane gives his answer because Ricky may not be wrong. All right, what do you got?
I have Joe Brady.
You and Ricky said the same thing.
Okay.
I don't think that, again, I lean more get the defensive-minded head coach, but Joe Brady's next. We saw what he did with Burrow at LSU. And then what he's done with Josh Allen as the OC.
What's he done?
He's made him not suck.
I think we could call plays for Burrow and Allen.
I agree.
Look, you got lucky. It's not his fault. You got lucky to do that. But he's going to want to have input on the offense. That's it. He's going to want the input on the offense. This Titans team does not need to get another coordinator that wants to be the head coach and call plays. You don't need it.
So I'm going to read off offensive head coaches, current head coaches right now that are offensive.
Sure.
That I think are going to get fired, and you tell me if you want them as the OC.
All right.
Not the head coach.
Okay.
The OC. Let's see. Let's go through Dave Canales.
He's not going anywhere.
I think he gets fired. Is he defense, though?
He's the head coach OC at the Panthers.
He was OC. Yeah, I think he could get fired.
I think they know Panthers suck. I think he's a good coach.
Zach Taylor.
He's not getting fired.
I'm just possibilities. Kevin Stefanski.
No.
Okay. Going down the list. Hope you're having a good day.
No, Andy Reid might get fired. They're 0-2.
Could you imagine?
Man.
He's not getting fired. He's not getting fired. How you doing? Mike McDaniel.
I could be talked into it.
Okay. Kellen Moore. Because I think he'll be one and done.
Yeah. Yeah. But all right. Maybe the Saints could get Robert Saleh.
Good.
I mean, Robert Saleh's getting a job. I mean, the Saints are as bad as the Titans.
I think other teams would have hired him, but he was kind of like, I need a break from being a head coach, and he went back to San Francisco.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I'm curious about. Offensive coordinator only. Brian Daboll.
Yes.
I think he was a really good coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not hate that at all. Obviously, I think everybody would say if Mike Tomlin became available, I mean, in a heartbeat, you would take Tomlin? Yeah.
Isn't he a defensive guy?
I'm saying as head coach. Like, if he became – you would take him in a heartbeat. Is Mike McDonald's the defensive guy, right?
Seattle. Yes, yeah. He is. He's not going anywhere.
No, he's probably not going – so that's it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good choices out there, but get the defensive guy, man, and then
I'm with you. I don't hate yours. I don't love mine. I would just
they need accountability right now. It's a playhouse over there. This whole off season, you get 2 points because you showed up on time, and then you get 3 points because you put the ring around the hoop, Chase. We had popsicles. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
You want me to say you were right on that?
Thank you very much.
You were.
I don't know. I'm good to say that, Joe, you're very consistent in your thoughts and approach.
Very consistent. Very handsome. All those things. Speaking of consistent and handsome, we'll talk to Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. ESPN NFL analyst and also the head coach at Innsworth. A huge win by the Tigers on Friday night. We'll talk to Tim coming up next. 102.5 The Game.